Hi, this is Bob Pop, a voice of the New York Football Giants, and this is the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast.
Good evening. Welcome back, Giants fans, to the latest edition of the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast. As always, in association with Andy's Man Club. Remember, lads, it is okay to talk. As you can see, this week we are 75% British, 25% Irish, but as always, absolutely 100% Giants. Craig's doing a bit of rearranging the furniture there at the moment, so we'll let him get on with that. But we're back live following our plethora of guest interviews that we've had over the last week. Yeah, with the draft only 2 weeks away now as well, we hope to have many more interviews coming your way over the next few weeks and months. But tonight it's time to get mocky, Giants fans, as we bring you our first mocks of the year with a couple of free rounders coming later this evening. Plus, Shane and Kev will also be highlighting some names to look out for on days two and three of the draft. So make sure you stay tuned for that, lads. How are we doing on this fine Tuesday evening?
Yeah, not bad. Like I say, you know, we had some amazing guests on last week. Sure, our listeners have already listened to those episodes, but if you're not, I highly recommend going back to listen to them. They were absolutely amazing. Two great Jordans to get on the show. And like I say, you know, looking forward to getting into sort of some day two and day three prospects as well. I've not seen Kev's. I'm guessing Kev's not seen mine either. So it'll be interesting.
It will be. I definitely think that there'll be one or two that we might have the same, or definitely players that I'll mention that you might have just missed your list, or you'll mention that might have just missed mine. But just exactly what you were saying, lads, you know, having the two Jordans on last week, just banging out the draft content, it's just so good. You know, we're 2 weeks away now. You know, it's 2 weeks Thursday, so we have first round of the 2024 NFL draft, and we will be in the war room together for a full live show for the whole first round. Lads, I don't know about you. I was a little bit nervous when we decided to do that, but I'm absolutely buzzing now that it's getting closer and closer. And I feel that all the prep we've done, we're not quite finished yet, but all the prep that we've done and we're doing, I think we're going to be really, really ready for it. And it's going to be a great, great night. And I'm just so glad the four of us are back on. And, you know, this is the time of year the Giants can be hopeful for a change.
As opposed to being a negative. Apologies for all the carnage as soon as we went live. My laptop went, your battery's running low. And I realised I hadn't actually plugged the power in. So that would have been a good start, wouldn't it? But yeah, it's been a chaotic one. But yeah, what a week. And as you said, getting closer and closer. And finally, we get to do a Big Blue UK and Ireland mock draft.
We absolutely do. Yeah, I just want a big shout out to the Jordans, both Reed and DeLugo, for coming on last week. I did listen to both episodes. I wasn't on, unfortunately, due to work, but I did listen to both, and they were cracking listens. So if you haven't already, make sure you tune in and listen to those at a later date. But yeah, good to get back on. Obviously, yeah, 2 weeks to the draft. It's ramping up. It's going to be a great fortnight, a busy fortnight, and really looking forward to 2 weeks on Thursday. So we've got a lot to look forward to over the next few weeks. But as usual, let us know your thoughts and questions, comments. Drop them in the comments, and we'll do our best to get any questions you want answered. And check out all our social platforms and merch store by following the links in the description. And feel free to like and share if you're watching. To kick off this week, as usual, it's our roundup of the latest news and rumours. Producer Craig, I'm coming to you first this week. What's the latest on Big Blue's latest rapper?
Not a lot. The news that Darren Waller is considering retirement has rumbled on since the news broke during the combine at the end of Feb. With the draft now only 2 weeks away, the Giants brass is none the wiser to Waller's plans for 2024, and it doesn't look like he really knows either. Last week, Forbes released an article featuring a one-on-one interview that they had with Darren, and there were some interesting things in that article of note that I've jotted down here. So one is that the author, DJ Siddiqui, spoke to Waller and said that he was in as good shape as ever when he saw him. He was doing route running and working out in Vegas with two draft prospects in Ohio State's Cade Stover and Texas's Jatavion Sanders. The biggest quote, though, and, you know, the one to kind of keep an eye on was, I'm at the point now where I'm okay, how much am I willing to give to the process? If it's not 100%, it's a disservice to the teammates in the organization that I have. I'm still trying to make a decision on that, and it's a tough one to make, one or the other, out of emotion. Now, there was also an Athletic article that went up today where they kind of, there was a push about whether he was going to make that decision before the draft, and he said that he would like to, but, you know, emotion doesn't really dictate when and where he can make it. You know, he ideally he'd like to do it before the draft, but there we go. But another week, and we're talking about, you know, the lack of decision making from Darren. If you're the Giants, are you tempted to draft a tight end, even though we've signed Stoll, Manhurts, and re-signed Cager, Dan?
I mean, that sounded like a company name, that did. Stoll, Manhurts, and Cager.
It does
sound like a law. Sound like a law firm or something. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. Obviously, as it stands, we've only got 6 picks in the draft this year. And surely there's 6 positions where we have a bigger need to get someone than tight end. Obviously, Bellinger can step up and be that number one, like he showed. Well, he could potentially step up and be that number one, like he showed in his rookie year. Obviously, after his injury, there were a few concerns about him, but I think given the chance, he could produce again. And you then obviously got Cager and the other two, Stoll and Manhurts, you know, whether they form like a sort of a little committee to sort of rotate between them, obviously, or is Cager's number two, the other two falling behind. We could pick up, you know, any undrafted free agents. We could also then look at, you know, especially when it comes to camp and the final cutdowns, any sort of free agents that come out after camp that we can pick up. So there's lots of still moving pieces that could still happen in terms of tight end. So I think even if Waller doesn't come back, and if he does decide to retire, I don't see us going tight end in the draft. If it doesn't work out, there's always, you know, going into the season as well, if it doesn't work out, there's always the option of potentially an in-season trade, which, you know, before the trade deadline. So there's lots of options and choices out there. So I don't think drafting a tight end is the right way at the moment, whilst he's still sort of on the fence. If he comes out and says he's going to retire in the next fortnight, then, all right, it might be deemed as a more of a position of need. But until then, I think no.
Kev, what's your thoughts on the whole Waller situation at the moment?
Yeah, it's very tricky, isn't it? Because is he doing the right thing and saying he wants to be 100% to come back? So that means if he does make the decision to come back, is he all in? Or is it a case, if you're thinking about retirement, are you already retired? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, it's that catch 22 situation. I mean, we'd like to have him back because he can be a good player in this league. He showed last year that although his form did dip a bit before struggling with injuries, that he was, you know, a good player when called upon. So you'd kind of rather have them than not. I believe I'm not very happy about dragging it out, though. I think it should be decided on well before the draft, and I think that's a little bit selfish on his part. I think we were going to look at tight end anyway in this draft, especially day 3. Maybe not with the top tier picks, but definitely day 3. There's no one really that stands out at the beginning of the draft apart from Brock Bowers. But later on in the draft, there's definitely value to be had. But Dan made a great point as well of us only having 6 picks. So, you know, it's not a case of like we've got lots of darts to throw at like all positions. So we kind of do have to be a little bit selective. But I mean, I hope they take the best player on the board when it comes to the day 3 picks. If that happens to be a tight end, fantastic. I think Bellinger can do a job as a number one tight end. I think we might have to go into the free agent market post-draft to pick up another body, because I don't really see a number 2 on the roster right now. I see a lot of depth for run blocking, but I don't see a real number 2. I don't think Cager could be a real number 2. I think he's more of a camp body. But part of me would like just Waller to make a decision now, free up the $6.7 million it would, and let us go and put that money towards a starting position like a cornerback or safety.
Looks like Steve's obviously showing his hand quite early before the Big Blue UK and Ireland fantasy draft later on this off-season. Shane, thoughts on Waller? Do you feel like because of that lack of draft picks, it does make it a bit more of a difficult decision for the Giants?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, Joe Shane showed in the past that he's happy to be aggressive and move up in the draft, and likewise, he's happy to drop back down in the draft and acquire extra draft capital, and that's fully what I expect him to do this year, to be honest. Only having 6 picks, I wouldn't be surprised if we try back in the second round, to be fair. You've got the likes of Cincinnati and Arizona that have got 2 or 3 picks in rounds 2 and 3. So ideally trading with one of those would be ideal. And you know, you want to get the value. So throw in, look, say an extra fifth rounder, and then you can use that fifth rounder to get a tight end. I think you definitely need to get something if Darren Waller's going to not be part of this team going forward. I think he kind of owes it to us a little bit to at least tell us before the draft, in all fairness. I don't think it's great the way it's been prolonged the way that it is. And, you know, with his comments, I'd suggest that he's more than likely out than he is in.
So, Dan, back over to you for a re-signing.
Yeah, man, sorry, I was taking myself off mute. And my mouse didn't want to work. Re-signing, which kind of... came a little bit out of nowhere for me. I sort of wasn't expecting it to happen. But yeah, Isaiah Simmons. Obviously linebacker / safety, who we originally acquired in last year from the Cardinals in exchange for this year's 7th round pick. I think it's he appeared in all 17 games last season and recorded 50 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 3 pass breakups, 1 forced fumble, and that 54-yard pick 6 against Washington. So, yeah, Isaiah Simmons is back in the building. Quick reaction to that, Kev?
The Isaiah Simmons one, I think, is a great sign in the sense that it's a one-year deal, $2 million for 1 year with $1.4 guaranteed. I think it's one of those deals where it's like a nice, it's more than the bet minimum, so you're showing like a bit of commitment to him with the guaranteed money. And he's a player that has great promise. I mean, we traded a 7th-round pick for him last year. He hasn't lived up to his round one billing, but he hasn't found a home. And even we hoped Wink would use him the right way last year. And I think Shane might have said in the previous podcast, like, try to use him as a rusher off the edge on obvious passing downs and stuff and use that athleticism. But maybe he's better as a box safety, as an overhang linebacker. I mean, Bowen has to like him, otherwise he wouldn't have been signed. And so it will be interesting to see how he's used. I mean, that type of athleticism, and he's only just turned 26. So, you know, I think it's a great idea to bring him back for another one-year deal and see what he can do in Bowen's defense.
Yeah, I think it's a... In my eyes, he was a you know, sort of utility player. I mean, he sort of came in handy sort of in lots of different situations. So for me, I think it was a good pick-up. Shane, what do you reckon?
Yeah, you know, like Kev says, he's not lived up to that round one potential. It's not overly expensive, and you know, it'd be interesting to see how he's utilised, because like I've mentioned in the past, he can be used off the edge, but also, you know, let's not forget we've mentioned it over the last couple of weeks. I think last week we were talking about linebackers in the draft, and you know, our linebacker depth isn't great at the moment, so you know, he could be used there. And again, let's not forget he was also used as safety in Arizona a few times, which I know he wasn't a fan of, but it just gives you that other option. So, you know, I just see him as a little bit of a depth piece, and it'll be interesting to see how he's used by Bowen.
Craig, yeah, any thoughts?
It's a move that both myself and Kev kind of agreed with when we did our Fix the Giants piece a few weeks ago, that it was kind of a no-brainer. It's interesting because... on a wide, you know, if you said for wide receivers, there's gadget players, you know, players who can do a little bit of everything, can really like change an offense. Could Simmons really be classified as maybe a gadget defensive player in what he does? You know, could he potentially be this kind of like hybrid linebacker, edge rusher, safety that Bowen can utilize in different ways? I mean, that would be the interesting thing to keep an eye on this coming offseason. Kind of. Camp's going to tell us a lot, isn't it? If we see him in the safety room, it kind of plays its hand as to where it's going to go. If he's in the linebacker room, then we kind of know where it is. But yeah, there's some breaking news as well. We don't have a breaking news drop anymore. Breaking news. Kev, thank you for bringing this to our attention. I've got a load of information here. Giants have signed veteran wide receiver Miles Boykin. What a great name. Originally selected by the Ravens in the third round of the 2019 draft, played three seasons in Baltimore, recorded 33 receptions for 470 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's then spent the last two seasons with the Steelers, primarily on special teams, has played in 33 games since the start of the 2022 campaign, with 15 special teams tackles to go with his 5 receptions for 28 yards for the Steelers. Prior to joining the NFL, Boykin played for 3 seasons at Notre Dame, enjoying his strongest season as a senior in 2018, 59 receptions for 872 yards and 8 touchdowns. Kev, you are our resident Notre Dame expert. Did you want to give us a little bit of flavor of Boykin, who seems to be a special teamer really now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I mean, I don't think he'll give you much in the passing game as a starting level caliber player now. I mean, he is like 6'4", 220 pounds, so he is a big boy. He ran a 4.42 40, so he has got a bit of juice about him, and you know, it hasn't really taken off for him in the NFL, but he's sort of like one of those good sort of like core special teamers, good locker room guy, you know, completely clean off the field, high character. And it's just a good addition to the wide receiver room that sort of needs some more bodies.
Nice. I think it's, I don't know much about the guy, but I think if he's going to come in handy on special teams, then it's not a bad thing, right? Kev, who else? Who's the other player we signed this week?
So this week, we'll talk about. So the Giants have signed Deontay Miller. This is a player that we don't know much about because he has sort of a weird track or path to becoming a Giants player. I mean, I hadn't heard of him before. Shane Adieu or Craig or anyone else, had you ever heard of this Deontay Miller before out of South Carolina?
Nope.
Right. So his name is Deontay Miller, or his nickname is actually Little Turbo. It's an absolutely great name. I mean, and when he was called Little Turbo when he was at Columbia University in the Ivy League, and then when he went to South Carolina because he packed on some muscle. I think he's 5'11" or something, but he's 200 pounds. He packed on some muscle, so they dropped Lil and they just call him Turbo Miller now, which is just a fantastic name. You know, we've got Motor and Turbo in the backfield now with Singletary. But getting back to sort of a little bit about his story, because it's quite interesting. I mean, you know, he didn't have the greatest start. You know, he grew up in foster care after his mother left him with a neighbor and didn't return. He bounced around from foster family to foster family before his mum's cousin, Antoine Flowers, found him and fought for custody. You know, Miller started to trust Flowers, and she in turn helped him channel his energy into sports. You know, where he did well enough to play 3 years at Columbia University in the Ivy League, losing out his fourth year to COVID. Now, as you all know, like the Ivy League, you know, you need to be good in school and get your grades, and you know, that's like a top level academic place. Mm-hmm. Like, so you know, he's no slouch. You know, fair play to put the work in. But then obviously he knew he had something about him, and he wanted to test himself at a higher level than the Ivy League. So, you know, he transferred to University of South Carolina in the SEC. You know, he went there thinking he had 2 years of eligibility left, but we didn't know it was actually 2 years to play one season. The admissions team had actually messed up his sort of enrollment and you know, understanding of what he had left. So in 2022, he played 6 games. You know, and he didn't realize that, you know, when you redshirt in college football, you get a year. So essentially you have 5 years to play four. So you can redshirt 1 year. But that redshirt year, you're allowed to play 4 games. So you can play 4 games, still redshirt, and that year carries over. But Miller stopped playing, and he tried to get a waiver from the NCAA, but they refused. And since then, South Carolina have done everything to keep Miller in football shape so he could enter the 2024 draft, even allowing him to work out the pro day where he ran a 4.27 40 and recorded 28 reps on the bench press. When questions were asked about his eligibility, they found out he actually should have been in the 2023 draft. So he's actually come in as a free agent, you know. So he thought he could play, get a waiver and play an extra year of college. They refused. So he was entering this draft, preparing for this draft. And then he finds out, hold on a minute, let's look at this eligibility and let's look at everything behind the scenes. And they find out that actually you could have been drafted last year. So he's been a free agent the whole season, essentially, and just working out with the South Carolina team. So, you know, he had lots and lots of workouts planned for different teams. He came to the Giants, and he's got family in Brooklyn. He sort of like grew up around the New York area. And he said when he met with the coaches and when he did the workout, there's something clicked, you know, just felt like home, seeing the prestige, you know, growing up sort of around Giants fans. And I don't think it was actually, I don't know if he was a fan himself, but he's from the area and stuff like that. And it's sort of like, he said the mystique of the Giants that as soon as they offered him a undrafted free agent contract, 3-year contract he signed for, he snatched their hand off, like, so he's here. And Art Stapleton did a podcast with him today, actually. And it's a really, really good insight. When you hear him talk, he talks really well. And he doesn't want his adversity to sort of, you know, people feel sorry for him. And they got, you know, there was just problems in the way and he overcame. And that's the type of player that he sort of like sounds like. Very, very fast player. Going to be awesome in the return game. And I think he could actually push for a bit of a roster spot. I mean, if you go back and watch some of his film, it is from 2 years ago. So he hasn't got much film out there, but it's going to be a film. You can see someone running away from defenders. He just, you know, he gets the crease and he goes. It's exciting that someone like this has come in, and it almost feels a little bit like a freebie, like a free draft pick, is it? A little bit. But also he gets to come in now, next week, with the veterans, and sort of start betting in earlier than these draft picks would.
That's a really strange one, isn't it? That's a really, really strange one. Like, should have been drafted last year. So technically he's now going into a sophomore year. He completely misses rookie year. That's a strange one. But, you know, by the sounds of it, he sounds like he's potentially could be quite a decent player. So it's a nice little pickup for the Giants there. But is it me or does it... The Giantsness put a tinge of sadness on it because something's not going to work out for him. He's going to end up moving on and going somewhere else, and having a breakout and becoming this massive star after he leaves the Giants.
No, don't say that. You know, he'll make the roster, or it should be like a little bit of lightning in the backfield.
No, I like that. I think that backstory is really cool. But at the same time, yeah, it's nice that he doesn't want people to sort of feel sorry for him or, you know, feel any pity for him. He's there to work and he's there to work hard. And I think it's good of the front office to sort of recognise that and think, actually, you know what, this guy's got something to offer. Let's pick him up. So I kind of like that signing. I'm not gonna lie. I knew nothing about him. Absolutely nothing about him until you started talking about him there, Kev. So I appreciate that. All right, then last bit of Giants news for us this week. And Shane, round it out for us, please.
Yes, so last Thursday, the Giants held their local pro day, which allowed them to host in-person workouts for regional talent. And I think I'm right in saying that these visits don't count as the 30 visits that they can have. So these are kind of like extra bonus beneficial attendees. So the list was Javonte, Jean-Baptiste, Edge out of Notre Dame, Max Melton, DB out of Rutgers, Christian Mahogany, offensive lineman out of Boston College, CJ Hansen, offensive lineman out of Holy Cross, Jaden Sheridan, running back out of Monmouth, and also quarterback Marquez McCray out of Monmouth, Sean Bowman, tight end out of Rutgers, MJ Wright, wide receiver out of Fordham, Tyler Boltwright, DB out of Central Connecticut, and Juwan Mitchell, linebacker out of Colorado. Also, in addition to these, the Giants have reportedly set up meetings or have already met this week. Kentucky cornerback Andrew Phillips and Penn State tight end Theo Johnson. So I'll come over to you, Kev, one of our residential draft guys. Any of these stand out to you that are not named Javonte?
I knew you did. Right. Well, obviously, like Andrew Phillips, the Kentucky cornerback, is rising up everyone's draft boards. The more people are starting to watch his film from Kentucky, they're starting to see a really good player. So he's definitely one to watch. I mean, Penn State, Theo Johnson. for some reason, like every time we do a mock, he's always there on day three. And I don't know why, because I think he'll actually go sort of like late second, early third. I think he could end up being a really, really good tight end. And someone, you know, if he's there on day three, oh my God, he's like more athletic. Darren Waller, if that makes any sense, because obviously younger and faster is that type of player. But
just before you carry on, James put a comment in earlier actually saying about Theo Robinson, saying that the Giants spoke about him, I think, as a late round pick with lots of upside, and whether you both had thoughts on him. So I don't know if you just wanted to spend a couple of minutes just expanding on that, maybe obviously with our resident Penn State expert as well in here, get his kind of thoughts on Theo.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd love Theo Johnson. I think if you paired him up with Danny B, you've got like two absolute, like a 1-2. Like, you literally, we'd be about 4 or 5 weeks into the season. We'd be like, Darren, who? Like, what a complete gone. Try, see you later. You know, Theo's absolute, he's an athletic player. I've just got his stats here. He ran a 4.57 40 at the combine, which puts him 92 percentile, 39.5 vert, which puts him 98 percentile. His 10 yard was 1.55, puts him 93 percentile. He's 6'6", 259 pounds. He can handle himself in the run blocking. I'd probably say Danny B is probably a little bit better than him in run blocking. But, you know, he's also one of these tight ends that can kind of line up out wide or in the Y formation. And, you know, I think he needs to improve his route running, but I think he would be a great addition if you could get him on day three. And like with him and Danny B, I think he'd be set to tight end for the next sort of 4 or 5 years.
Right, I'm not saying he is this guy, right, but he's a little bit like Travis Kelce, that type of player, but faster. Just putting it right there.
Anyway, sorry, Kev, you can carry on with the rest of your players, if there's anybody else.
Yeah, so, I mean, big fan of Christian Mahogany. He's on my top five inside offensive lineman. I just love his game, a proper mauler, like old school, you know, grinded out type player. Max Melton, again, is a very, very good man corner. He sort of started this process, you know, and not many people talking about him, but again, he's up to a early, mid day two, sort of late second round type cornerback. But the rest of them I haven't really heard of. But then don't forget, there was players last year like Trey Johnson the third, who we hadn't heard of. He came in on one of these similar local pro days or a 30 visit. And I will just add about Javonte Jean-Baptiste. You know, he played 3 years at Ohio State, actually, and transferred for his last season over at Notre Dame. One of those players just comes in, does his job, not flashy, won't have fantastic stats, but sets the edge really, really well and can pressure the quarterback, although he might not have the stats to show it. It'd be a great day three pickup.
You'd hope someone with a name like Christian Mahogany would be solid on the offensive line, right?
But Boston College as well, like Boston College have had some really good offensive linemen come out of there over the last few years.
Oh, God.
Very true. I'm here a week. Oh, all right. Moving on then, swiftly on. Before we get cracking with our three-round mock, there hasn't been any updates to... our chosen expert's latest mocks, but SNY's Connor Hughes published an interesting three-round scenario the other day. So first round of the draft, he traded number 6 and then the number 70 overall, which is obviously a third-round pick, and a 2025 second-rounder to the Arizona Cardinals for pick number 4, and then selected... quarterback out of Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, of number 4. In his article as well, he said the Giants must be aggressive if they want the new franchise quarterback. This trade is that. It might seem like an overpay based on most draft charts, but that's what happens when you're dealing for a quarterback. And let's face it, look what we did for Daniel Jones a few years ago. Yeah, picking him at 6 wasn't exactly great, was it? And then also, in the second round as well, incidentally on that, because obviously we still had our second round pick, producer Craig will like this one. He selected wide receiver Keon Coleman out of Florida State as well. Kev, your thoughts on the draft capital that we're giving up for that one?
Sorry, I just want to check on Shane. Shane, are you okay there? Yeah. Do you need a moment?
Connor's obviously trying to push Lance Zierlein off the list. Someone who's trying to piss me off.
love it. So there's two school of thoughts here. I have two school of thoughts. First, I said a few weeks ago, I think someone like JJ McCarthy, I would be happy to sit and pick. Sit a six, if he's there, pick and move on with him as your quarterback to sit behind Daniel Jones for as long as it takes. I would move up for someone like Drake May, Jason Daniels, like a player like that, I would aggressively move up for. But then there's also the other train of thought, if he's your guy, if the Giants front office and Shane and Dable believe he's the guy to really take their program, their franchise forward, then you got to get behind it and you got to believe them. For me, giving up 6, 7, 8 and a second rounder next year for JJ McCarthy is a little rich, in my opinion. But if Drake May was there at 4, on the other hand, I'd be tempted to give up the first next year to go and get him. That's how much higher I rate Drake May than JJ McCarthy. So back to your original question, I think moving up from 6 to 4, giving up 70 and second next year, I think is a little too rich for JJ McCarthy, but that's not my choice to make.
It's not. You know, the GM gets paid the big money for a reason. I'll come to you last, Shane, because of the look on your face. Craig, what do you make of that? Get ready for a rant, people.
I just don't feel like if we're going to give up anything, it needs to be next year's picks and not this year's picks. We're already kind of hamstrung a little bit. Admittedly, if someone turned around to you and said, with your seventh round, you can get a player like Isaiah Simmons, you're going to do it all the time. With the second round, you're going to get a player like Brian Burns. That's the kind of correct way to look at it, I think, is not, oh, we've only got 6 picks. We've got, you know, we've actually been able to get a franchise altering defensive player and, you know, like I said, a gadget player. So I'm a fan of that. I just don't feel like we should be giving away any more draft capital this year to do anything. It's just too valuable at this point, and we just have way too many holes. We just need to sit there and kind of see what falls into our lap, because let's be honest, we're picking 6. Like, it's not like we're scraping bottom of the barrel by that point. We're still going to get a player who potentially will change our franchise.
Absolutely, yeah. Shane, is it rant time?
Shane looks shocked.
Swear to God, if the Giants trade up for JJ McCarthy on night one, I am leaving the draft party. I'm going back to the hotel. I'm going to have an early night, and I'm going to come back home on Friday morning and pretend it all never happened, and I'll check the draft in a week's time. They better not trade up. I'm throwing my pen around now and everything. They better not trade up for JJ.
Shane's lost it. Shane's lost it, people.
Now I'm on to a Daniel Jones rant, because you're saying this about, oh, if he's your guy. But I thought Daniel Jones was the guy that that drafted Daniel Jones. They then paid Daniel Jones a decent money. Do not trade up for JJ McCarthy. We do not need DJ 2.0 on our hands for the next 5 years, going, oh, is this the breakout year? Look what you've done, man. Cheers, Connor.
I will say, I will say, talking about the draft picks as well, like Shane has shown in the past, like when we picked up Robinson, Wandell Robinson, a couple of years ago, he traded back twice in the second round. So don't be surprised to see, you know, if we are light on draft picks and we've only got 72, 73 players signed at the moment. So don't be surprised if we take that 47 and move back a couple of times and generate a couple of fourths, a couple of fifths, or a couple of sixths. Not all of them, but if we just generate more picks in day three.
Yeah, I think it's a wise move. You going to say something, Craig?
No, I'm just still chuckling to myself. Here you go, Shane.
I love that comment.
There's an important question from the comments. Shane, is it worse to trade up for JJ or take O-line at 6?
I think Kieran.
Kieran, you're brilliant, bro.
If you want to piss Shane off, that's the way to do it, my friend.
Wow.
What a question.
Sheehan has left the chat.
Same. He's gone. All right, Kieran, you tipped him over the edge, my friend.
He can't answer the question.
Shane's back in the room. Here he comes.
Oh, God.
It's like people are trying to annoy you.
I don't know. Like, oh, is there that many options? Can I have a third option? Like,
death.
Can I drop a kicker at six? I'll have a kicker. I'll take a kicker or punter or lung snapper before I take JJ McCarthy and Lyman.
Wow. Damn, Kieran went there. Brave, brave, brave man. But I appreciate the question. Thanks for the question, Kieran.
If I ever meet you. But your chances of a beer now have completely gone.
I think you've ranted so hard that Kev's internet died.
Either that or I'll give him an headache.
Yeah. yeah, one of the two. Nah, you won't give him a headache. It's just he's obviously dropped off for a reason. He'll be back in a minute, no doubt. All right, then. Day two and three favourites then. So before Wildcat reloads up, here he comes. Did Kieran piss you off as well, Shane?
It was Team Shane.
Yeah. Did Kieran piss you off?
No, lads, it's brilliant. That's brilliant. Just a technical malfunction on my end. No biggie. Bring on more comments, please.
Keep those comments and questions coming, people. We love them. All right. Like I said, day two and three favourites. And as promised at the top, Shane and Kev's tips to watch out for on days two and three of this year's draft. Producer Craig is going to lead us through this one. Over to you, mate.
Yep. So this was a brainchild of all of us. And then I flipped the script on the boys late last night and said, could they give us six players, three from offense, three from defense? And then we've taken it even further and said one from day two and two from day three. So let's pop Kevin Shane head to head. Neither of them know who each other's picked. I can tell you in advance that there is one instance where you've picked the same player.
I can guess who as well. Go on.
And there are four instances of where you've picked the same position, which is even more interesting. So let's start things off with offense and day two. They'll appear at the bottom of the screen for anybody who's watching. So Kev has gone for wide receiver Devontae Walker from UNC, which incidentally, he is in Shane's top five wide receivers at number five. And Shane has gone for wide receiver Troy Franklin from Oregon. So I don't know which one out of you two wants to defend the pick first or explain the pick first. Shane?
Yeah, no problems. So Troy Franklin was a bit of a tough one because I do think he's one of them players that could maybe just teeter into the edge of being a day one pick, in all honesty. But I'm just thinking that he might fall into day two just because of the other players that could be above him. You know, I don't know about Kev, it was a hard choice. Like, I mean, just two considerations that was there for me. Tez Walker was one I considered, but I tried to stay away from players that was in my top five because I know Tez Walker's not got the draft hype that some players have got. Jalen Polk, Ricky Pearsall, they were two players I seriously considered for day two as well. But I just think with Troy Franklin, he had 114 targets for 81 receptions, 1,383 yards and 14 touchdowns. Now, the one knock on him is he's a little bit light. He's 6'2" and only 176 pounds. He's drew comparisons to Devontae Smith, who obviously the Giants were interested in drafting a few years ago until the Eagles jumped us in round one. He put up an 87.3 receiving grade on PFF and had 14 deep catches on the season, which ties him for eighth in this draft class, and had 458 deep yards as well, which is 11th. And, you know, for me, I think we've got loads of yak guys, but we've not got many deep guys, and I think that he would be a valuable addition.
Kev?
Yeah, I like him. I'm guessing he's your pick for round the 47, the second rounder?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've gone for Devontae Walker for around that pick, or maybe the early third, if he was there in the early third. I know you like him a lot. I'm a little bit more down on him, but him with our third round pick would be an absolute steal, I think. It'd be so good. Like, why don't we just go draft Drake May and then just pick him up in the third? Like, let's just do that. You know, that'll set us up nicely. I mean, like, but yeah, so Devontae Walker out of North Carolina, 6'2", 193 pounds, went to the Senior Bowl. He's a big, explosive, vertical wide receiver. He ran 4.36 40, 4.5 vert, 134 broad jump. Now, he's a strange one, right, in the sense that he had a rocky road coming to this draft as well. In 2020, he went to North Carolina Central. And he didn't play because the season was cancelled because of COVID. So he transferred. He went to Kent State, and he played in 8 games. Then he started 12 games and made first team All-Mac. He transferred after that season to North Carolina. But the NCAA deemed him not eligible to play because it was a technicality. It was technically his second transfer, even though he didn't play for North Carolina Central because of COVID. And he became eligible to play after week 6 last season. So he started 6 of the 8 games he played in last year with 700 yards, 41 receptions, 7 touchdowns with an average of 17 yards per catch. Now, I just think, like, you know, he's a good player. Like, he's not top 5 for me, like his shin, but I think he's still such a good player. Like, he runs through contact. I think he had 12 forced missed tackles last year. You know, he can high point the football, and he's very, very good run blocker as well. And he needs to work a little bit in the contested catch. And he's not the twitchiest. Like, he's not Wandale Robinson, obviously. But, you know, as someone who can come in and be that X wide receiver on this team, I think he would fit in really nicely.
So there we have it, two wide receivers there. So let's move on to day 3 and the first of the offensive picks at day 3. Kev, do you want to jump in straight away with your one here after I've done the announcement? So, two running backs, Audric Estime, Notre Dame. I mean, shocker, Kev, shocker. And Kamani
Vidal. Why am I not surprised?
Kamani Vidal from Troy for Shane. So, Kev, go on then, your boy.
I want to see him change from the Notre Dame blue to the Giants blue so, so bad. I mean, if we're in the fourth round and he's there early in the fourth round, I mean, just imagine him going up, being a 1-2 tandem with Singletary. I mean, you know, he's a Audric Estime, Notre Dame, 5'11", 225 pounds. He's a power back, but he has decent vision. You know, he's a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. He's actually from New Jersey. He was named New Jersey Football Player of the Year in 2020. He was a reserve in his first year at Notre Dame. In his second year, he played all 13 games. He led the Irish with rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. Last season, he played all 12 games, was second team All-American, went for over 1,300 yards, 18 touchdowns at 6.4 yards per carry. He's a strong downhill runner. You know, he's got a great missed tackle rate. He's really good leg drive. He's powerful. He's good vision. He's got a really good jump cut. And have you ever seen his hurdles? He can definitely, you know, hurdle a guy for a big boy. He's got a decent amount of burst. He always falls forward. So in short yardage, goal line situations, he just took the ball and ran over people into the end zone. And he's an excellent pass protector. Now, we know, we've talked about it before, if you're a running back who can pass protect in this league, you will play. He's obviously not the perfect by any means. He's not the quickest. He's not the absolute fastest. He ran a 4.71 on his pro day on his combine, but he got it down to 4.57 on his combine results. So, you know, yes, he's not the sexiest running back in the world. He's a bit of a throwback, but he's definitely a player I think can benefit this team this year and would make an awesome 1-2 punch with Singletary.
And then Shane's obviously going for the Lawrence Tynes love affair with Troy there. So do you want to give us the rundown on Kamani?
Yeah, just what I do, we'll say if there's any people watching live that have got maybe some players that they like in day 2 or 3, to pop them in the chat and Craig can put them up on screen. Or if you've got any thoughts on the players that me and Kev mentioned as well, like throw them on screen and we'll read them out. Moving on to the position running back, I mean, Kev, how many running backs were you eyeing up in this position? Because for me, there was about 4 or 5 that I could have chose from.
Loads. Like, yeah. It's almost like, yes, there's not a round one, or round two running back in this class, but there's a lot of really good depth in this class.
Yeah, definitely. And in the end, I said on Kamani Vidal, just because he had elite numbers, 295 attempts this past year for 1,661 yards, average 5.6 yards per attempt and 14 touchdowns. Their numbers are quite good, but I quite like the next lot of numbers. 1,056 yards after contact this season, which ties him for second in this class, as well as 94 missed tackles forced, which again is second in the class. Put up a 93.2 rushing grade as well. And it's not just like it's an anomaly this year either. Last year in 2022, he ran for 1,055 yards off 210 attempts for 5 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns and 1 fumble. He had 2 fumbles this past year as well. Now, some of the concerns for me is obviously he's coming from Troy, so it's not like an elite school, an elite opposition. Excuse me. And also, he has a tendency to bounce a lot of runs to the outside, even though the scheme might be run inside or the gap might be inside, he'll run outside. But, you know, Kamani Vidal's just a player that when I was doing my draft research and I was looking at all the running backs, them numbers that I've just mentioned just stood off the chart for me. Got watching his tape and I was like, you know, some of them might be there, some of there with this guy.
And OC went to Troy as well, don't forget.
Now, James has said, do either of your picks change here after signing a running back with Miller? These picks are from today, really, aren't they? So we already knew that Miller was signed before you guys sent me these across. And there's another one from Joel, but I'll do that after the next load. So the final load, which is where I think you are the same again, same position. Don't worry, Shane. He hasn't got your boy. But we have got a pair of tight ends. Kev going with Jared Wiley from TCU and Shane going with his boy Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. Shane, start us off. Before you do, actually, the Wakanda jerseys from TCU are absolutely phenom, aren't they?
So smart.
So smart. Anyway, sorry, Shane.
This is Shane hoping he's going to be there in day three. Ben Sinnott will not be there in day three.
Yeah, 100%. If he is, you run to the podium. Like, if he's there, you get a plane ticket if you're in London to make the draft pick for the Giants. Like, that's how much of a steal it'll be. I don't think that's one of the hardest things I find we do in these day and 2-3 prospects. It's kind of, you know, I mean, I was looking at some players. There's a player I look at in a bit. I've seen one website had him as a round two pick and one of them had him as a round five pick. You know, that's just the variety that you get with different people's opinions. But for me, I went for Ben Sinnott. I think he's the only player who is in my top five, to be fair, just because Ben Sinnott is my guy in this draft class. 73 targets, 48 receptions, 6 touchdowns, 669 yards. He had 2 drops, 14 missed tackles forced, which ties for 4th in the tight end class. 81.0 receiving grade as well. One knock on him could be that he needs to improve his run blocking, which, you know, could be said for a lot of tight ends in this draft class. But, you know, I don't think he will be there day three, because if he is, it's an absolute steal.
Where is he in your top five again?
Four, I think I had him at. Did I have him at 3 or 4?
I've moved him up. Love me some Ben Sinnott.
I like to keep my top fives once I've made them.
They're there to be tinkered with right up to the draft.
Not for our poor listeners. Our poor listeners, they get these top fives and we owe it to our listeners.
Shane living and dying by the sword there. Kev, Jared Wiley.
Shane, man of the people.
People's champ, some might say.
Fair play. Right then, I've gone for another tight end, a true day three prospect. I've gone for Jared Wiley out of TCU, 6'6", 250 pounds, another Senior Bowl invite. You can kind of see a trend here. He's a solid receiving tight end. He ran a 4.6240. He went to Texas, played 12 games, 2 starts, got injured in his next year. And then the third year, he played 11 games with 8 starts, and then he transferred TCU. In his last season, he played all 12 games and was first team all Big 12. 520 yards, 47 receptions, 8 touchdowns, 11.1 average yards per reception. He's got really, really good build for the position. He's got very, very solid hands, just really, really solid. I don't think one of the stats here says he hasn't dropped a ball on 53 career targets. You know, his size makes him a really good red zone threat. Solid pass and run blocker, you know, so a decent all-round tight end. And he's played on special teams. So the only like kind of negatives with him is, you know, he was limited as a receiver in the sense he wasn't used that much as a receiver, as the 520 yards will tell you. And he's an average athlete. He's not, you know, he's not Theo Johnson, for example. He's not that type of athlete. He might be a little bit more of a Daniel Bellinger in that sort of respect. And then he doesn't really do much after the catch. He catches the ball every time, but then that's pretty much where the play ends up. So again, he could just be a solid, solid addition to what could be a thinning tight end room.
So the question, just to bring that back in from Joel, is anyone else think Rattler is worth a shot in the third, allow Daves to get his hands on a former Heisman favourite? And then he has said, I know Rattler might need more than a year, but weirdly, not a player we have really spoken about, despite the fact that we potentially need a quarterback. Is there a reason behind that?
Shane? I mean, oh yeah, sorry.
I think it's funny because like he was the next big thing a few years ago. Like it was Spencer Rattler was going to be number one overall pick in the following year's draft, and then he just sort of, I think he transferred and just had a complete disaster. I mean, for me, I wouldn't get drafting Spencer Rattler personally. He's got nothing to do with the fact that the type of player he is or the development. It's just there's other needs that we're going to have. I think if you're not taking a quarterback in round one, I'm probably going to avoid it completely, to be honest with you, because we need cornerback, we need a wide receiver. That's two picks there straight away. You probably want to be looking at maybe adding a safety, a tight end, if Darren Waller decides to retire. So I just think there's too many needs to be taking a developmental quarterback on day three, unless, let's say, for instance, you trade back on day three for maybe the back end of day three, for instance, or a supplemental pick.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything Shane just said. I mean, we just said we're lacking picks as it is. You know, we haven't really got the ammunition to take a flyer on someone like Rattler. You know, he's 6 foot, he's 2'10", he's a little bit erratic. I mean, don't get me wrong, his offensive line at South Carolina was absolutely atrocious. I mean, it was so, so bad. But yeah, he's one of those, like, you know, if we had an abundance of picks, yes, it could be worth a bit of a flyer, but like, we really, really don't. And he'll be gone probably before day three or very, very early day three. He throws a beautiful ball. He throws the ball really well. Can make a lot of hard throws. Can get move around the pocket as well. I just from what you see and what people say, you just don't know if he's got it between the ears. And that would be my worry. And you know, like Gene said, if you're going after a quarterback, you need to. It's a round one quarterback. You need to be 100% certain, because your jobs are tethered to these quarterbacks.
Right, so moving on to defense and our samesies, I guess. Bit of snap going on here between the two. So the day two pick, Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. Kev, do you want to start us off with thoughts on Kyrie?
Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, this big old 6'4", 203-pound cornerback. Again, went to the Senior Bowl. I just think he's a really good all-round player, you know. And I think he plays sit press. I think he can play off-man coverage. I think he could even turn into a pretty good safety if you got him into that DB room. He's one, again, you know, he's going to be one of the older prospects in this. I think he played 6 years of college or something. I think he's going to be like 24 when he comes out, which is not desirable. He, you know, played for Bama. So he was suspended at Bama, right? And it's not really come out as why. Shane, do you know why he was actually suspended by Nick Saban? No, it hasn't really come out. I mean, I don't know if it's bad or good. I mean, you'll have to look into that, the front office, to see if there's anything untoward there. But like, he started all 12 games for Oregon last year and was all Pac-12 first team. He had 34 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 interceptions, 8 pass breakups. He's, you know, he's tall, he's long, he's had experience as a receiver, so his ball skills are good. He's very good at at the catch point, going up with receivers. He's very quick. He's physical in the run game. He can come and lay a hit on you. I mean, like I said before, some of the negatives, though, he's going to be one of the oldest players in this class. But he is athletic, and he's one of those players I think that he could come in, and he could be safety number two straight away. As in, I think he's mature enough, and he's showed enough good things on tape that he can come in and wouldn't be number one, but I think he could definitely come in and be a starter straight away. But again, you know, you got to look at those off-field issues, if there is any issue at all. I, you know, never came to light why he was suspended at Bama.
Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I just love the idea of pairing him opposite Deontay Banks. I think, you know, you could potentially have two lockdown cornerbacks there for the next however many years. I mean, he was targeted 38 times, allowed 19 receptions for 200 yards, one touchdown giving up and three interceptions. He only had two missed tackles. We saw last year that the Giants had issues tackling, so, you know, that's not going to be an issue with him. He put up a 77.4 coverage grade and an 82.2 run grade. And, look, you know, you look at his measurables, at everything you want in a cornerback, to be honest with you. Just getting it up here, 6 foot 4, 194 pounds. Little bit slow with a 4.5 40, but his 10-yard split, which is, I'd argue, is a little bit more important than a 40-yard run, was 1.5, which puts him at 87 percentile. He has really long arms as well. Probably the only knock on him realistically is that he can be a little bit over-aggressive and a little bit handsy at times and get a few penalties. But, you know, that happens with all college players, especially DBs, when they enter the NFL. And I just think, you know, like I say, him and Banks could be easy CB1, CB2 for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right, so moving on to day three, then got, you know, back to the differences, back to the against each other kind of mentality. So a couple of safeties. So Kev, Dan, would you like to take a crack at that name?
Yes,
no, I mean
yes.
Which one? Which
one? Both. You can do both. You can do both.
Which one? All right then. So Kev has gone with Kitan Oladapo. We'll go with that. And Shane's gone with Sione Vaki.
I very nearly went with him as well, Shane, to be fair.
Nice. So who's going first? Let's go with... Who went first last time?
Kev.
Let's go with Shane first then. That way. There you go.
Yeah, Sione Vaki, he's someone who I picked up about October, November time. I was watching a Utah game and he just stood out for me. And the first thing I do when a player stands out is their name goes into my notes and he stayed there. And then when I seen he was declaring, I was like, okay, I'll be honest with you, I did try and see if I could squeeze him into my top five last week for safeties, but I was just like, there's no way I could put him as a top five. But, you know, he had 38 tackles this past year, 17 defensive stops. He had one touchdown, one interception, one pass breakup. He had 8 missed tackles, which is probably a little bit higher than what I would like. And he can actually play all three phases. That's correct, all three phases. He's a safety. He played running back this past season for Utah as well. And he also offers something in special teams. You know, one of the comps I've seen mentioned to him is someone we kind of know, that's Jabril Peppers. Again, he was another safety who came out of Michigan and could play on the offense and on the defense as well. So, you know, Vaki for me, day three guy, safety's a position of need, and, you know, a little bit of versatility there in regards to where he can play on offense if you needed him. You know, you're just stuck in a bit of a situation and what he can bring to special teams as well.
Okay, so Kev, you've gone for Oregon with the first one, Oregon State with the second one.
Yeah, I've gone for Kitan Oladapo, Oregon State, 6'2", 216, went to the Senior Bowl. You know, he's seen more of as a box safety, although he did register snaps in the slot as a single high, a split safety. He ran a 5.58, which isn't great, but for the type of player he is absolutely fine. 2022, he started all 13 games. I was first team All Pac-12. Last season, he played all 13 games and was first team all Pac-12. Last season, he had 73 tackles, one sack, one forced fumble, two interceptions, seven pass breakups. He is like just a very physical defender, you know, real, real powerful. He's strong. He's a really good blitzer. Your typical like downhill box safety. He's good with angles, you know, running to after players to make a tackle. You know, he's fluid. And the real con is that although he's played sort of like single high and split safety, he probably will be a box safety only in the league. But, you know, with our safety room at the moment, you know, he would absolutely fit in lovely.
Cool. And then let's round this out then.
Nice.
Defensive line and edge here. I'll do these ones. Not that they're easy. Shane's gone for edge. Javon Solomon. Kev's gone easy. For... Justin, what the hell is that?
Iboijibi.
Iboijibi, Jesus. Yeah, I never would have got there. Dan?
Another Troy man for Shane.
Another Troy man for Shane. Come on, Shane. What? Another Troy man. Come on.
To be fair,
seeing Tynes are loving this.
I sent this to Craig, and then I was like, oh, I didn't read it. I picked two players from Oregon and two players from Troy. Like, it was unplanned or anything like that. Javon Solomon, he's probably my guy on defense. I really, really like Javon Solomon. This past year, he had 17 sacks, 10 hits, 21 hurries. He put up a 90.9 pass rush grade, an 81.9 run D grade, with a pass rush win rate of 17.1%. Now, he does have size and length concerns, and although he put up good run D grade, he's more of a pass rusher than he is a run stopper. You know, in his total career at college, he had 33 sacks, 49 and a half tackles for loss. I say he's a little bit undersized in terms of his weight. He comes in at 246 pounds and only 6'1", which is a little bit small. Hands and arm wise, though, he's above 90 percentile for his hands and arm size, and his wingspan is 86% as well. So that's not the issue. It's just his actual height and his weight. But I think, you know, again, another player who probably because he goes to Troy is potentially being overlooked. And the reason why I went for edge is because we've got Brian Byrne, that's great. And we've got Kayvon Thibodeau, that's great. But we've got Azeez, who can't really stay on the field. We've got Boogie Basham, who I don't know if he even exists anymore. Let's just put him in the Aaron Robinson category, in all fairness. And, you know, you're going to need pass rushers. And if Azeez does have injuries, you need third one to be able to come on the field and give Tibbs and Burns a bit of a break.
Okay. Yeah, I like that one. He'd be more of a designated pass rusher on obvious passing downs, but he'd give you like a good bit of depth. So I've gone for Justin Iboijibi out of Alabama, 6'4", 297 pounds, went to the Senior Bowl. He's a versatile D lineman. You know, he went to Alabama this past year. He started 14 games and made first team all SEC. You know, for his size at nearly 300 pounds, he's very, very light in his feet, very, very quick get off. He's got a good anchor for his size, just hustles, one of those hustle type players, plays through the whistle. You know, he played all over for Alabama. He actually played like on the outside of tackles as well as inside. Shows versatility. The problem with that is he was a bit of a tweener. And sometimes, you know, against the bigger offensive linemen, they can kind of just get stopped quite easy. But I think as a three technique, five technique, alongside Dexter Lawrence as your nose tackle, I think he'd be a great, great compliment. I wouldn't put him on the outside. I don't think he's got the speed or bend for it. Definitely have him sort of inside as more of a three technique D tackle or a 3-4 in the end.
Nice. All right, then. All right. So, all those players you've just gone through, out of all of them, Shane, if you could pick one to be a New York Giant, who would it be and why?
One to be a New York Giant.
One.
I'll probably go for Kyree Jackson, to be honest, just because I feel that the need at cornerback is probably bigger than all the others. I imagine that we're going to go wide receiver in round one, hence it's not going to be Troy Franklin as my pick. I think if we do go wide receiver round one, I think it's getting to the point now where it feels a bit imperative that we go cornerback in round two.
Kev?
Sorry, guys. I completely agree. He's one for me. I mean, out of all those players there we just talked about, he's the one that's going to come in. He's the one that's going to come in and be a cornerback too and be a starter. I mean, like I said, I think we go wide receiver earlier than the third round. That's where I have Walker. I think Oldapo will be a rotational guy. The Alabama DT will be a rotational guy. So I think, yeah, I mean, as someone who can come in and contribute right away at a position of need, we've got to go for Kyrie Jackson.
Nice. Keep your eyes out for Kyrie Jackson on day two.
That's Kyrie Jackson. Four. Kyrie Jackson being a flop and getting drafted in round 5 or 6, a little bit like Keely Ringo last year.
Imagine. Yeah, keep your eyes out for him because you never know. We might see him in blue sometime soon.
Jeff is right, here just in time for the draft.
Wow. Even FA.
Even Jeff, how you doing? Hope you're well. Looking forward to your episode tonight too. All right then. Fresh off the back of WrestleMania at the weekend. It's time for the main event. No, it's not Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns. It's our 3-round Giants mock draft. Let's get it.
Are you telling me we're not going to have The Undertaker, John Cena, and whoever else came out at the end?
The Rock. Seth Rollins. Who else? Yeah. No, unfortunately, we're not going to have The Undertaker come out.
Craig, cheers, lads. I wasn't planning to watch it tomorrow night, but...
Oh, spoiler alert, Kev.
To be fair, there's a rumour going around that it's fake. I mean, I don't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I heard that rumour, Shane. Again, spoiler alert, if you didn't know already. Producer Craig, how is the 3-round mock draft going to work?
So as you can see on the screen right now, we have the PFF mock draft simulator set up. We will down it to a bit slower than horrifically turbo so no one can see the picks. We have chosen the Giants. We've kept all the other settings as default. We have 3 rounds. We will enter the draft and away we go. We'll try and give you the top 5 and then it's down to Shane and Kev to battle it out and give us who they think the pick is, and then me and Dan will agree probably.
There is a disclaimer that if Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide receiver 3, we're restarting because that is never going to happen.
Shane is adamant about this, and yeah. In our testing, he was like, "We're not having this."
Yeah.
So
the first thing he said,
"It's what the people would want."
Let's face it, it's not realistic, is it?
No. So let's start it off. Dan, if you read through the top 5 and then hand it over to the boys and we'll see where we go. So
I may have to get my magnifying glass thing. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay. You can scroll up for me. There we go. So 1, Caleb Williams to Chicago. 2, Jalen Daniels to Washington. 3, Marvin Harrison to New England. 4, Malik Nabers to Arizona. 5, Roma Dunze to San Diego. We're on the
thank
top
you.
6.
Joe Walt, you are a New York Giant. Take the card up.
Get him out. Ed will remove him.
I mean, we don't need to discuss this, do we, if we're going by the board?
I'm done.
Right, so just hover it over and...
we're on the clock. We're on the clock, lads. Where are we going? What are we saying?
Checking quarterback, Drake May. Done. Move on.
Happy days.
Could you imagine if we were in the Giants war room? Like Joe Shane's sitting there. There's us 4, and Joe Shane's going, Shane, should we take Joe?
Well, you know, Joe Sheehan's a Notre Dame fan.
Is he?
He is indeed. Yeah.
I couldn't give a toss.
Okay, so this is ultra fans.
Banter.
You're trying to ruin my Tuesday nights, man. Like, what have I done? Jeez.
Right, so Drake
just for May. It's got to be Drake May, right?
It's a no-brainer. Right, there we go. Drake May.
That's... Daniel Jones, see you later, mate.
No, he's got a year to shop himself, to put himself in the trade market.
So while this is obviously going through and we can see the picks going through, and yes, the Vikings did take JJ McCarthy. How long do you think Drake May does need to sit for? Because I know that there's been a lot of kind of discussion around the fact that there are some people who are saying, you know, you take Drake May, you could ruin your future. I guess you guys don't agree with that, but is he more of a prospect?
I think, like, if you need him to, he could start week one, in my personal opinion. Like, he's probably the QB2 to start week one, in my opinion. Like, Jaden Daniels, I'd have him sitting. That one from Michigan, who I refuse to draft, I'd have him sitting. Whereas Drake May is someone that you could start week one if you really wanted to. Now, would I like us to start in week one? Not really. Let him sit. Let Dave get his hand on him. Let Shaitini get his hands on him. Let Kafka get his hands on him. Mold him into what you want your quarterback to be.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, he's the type of player to come in. He needs a little bit of refinement. You know, a lot of people say his footwork needs a little bit of refinement. So if you get Shea Tierney's hands on him, because let's face it, Shea Tierney is the OC in waiting when Kafka contract finishes at the end of this year. So you want Shea Tierney to have him for a full year, well, as much as a full year as possible. You know, sometimes you have to start them halfway through season, but you'd like Daniel Jones to play well enough to sort of get us competitive, and have Shea Tierney and Daves mold him into the type of quarterback that he can be. Because, like, let's face it, like, you know, people put the comparisons out there. He could be the next Josh Allen.
So if we just go back and have a little look at some of the players that went. JJ 11 to Michigan, to Minnesota. That doesn't shock anyone.
Broncos not going. 12.
Yeah. Fashanu, who's now Fashanu, apparently, after
Fashanu
to the Raiders there.
Of course it's Fashanu.
Can't see anybody else there. Quinion Mitchell down to pick 19. I know you boys are both quite high on Mitchell. And then, Cooper DeShane going to bloody the Eagles there.
Of course he did.
Chopped to Dallas, Shane.
Well, they did it with Micah, so.
Yeah, very true.
Kool-Aid McKinstry's gone. Damn it.
Worthy snuck into the first.
Yeah. Bo Nix going to the Patriots with their second rounder there.
So who did they take? Harrison in the first round?
They took Harrison. So Harrison.
Yeah, that's decent.
And then Penix being the other quarterback there, pick 44 to the Raiders. So the Giants are now on the clock, just missed out on Saints Drill. I have no idea how to say that.
Yeah, Mike Sainstrill.
The nickel slot corner out of Michigan.
Yep, and then another Michigan player just before to win Roman Wilson. So you've got... Right.
We are on there. The clock.
I'd like to look at wide receivers. What about you, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, two names on standout already on the screen for me is Ladd McConkey and Troy Franklin, who obviously I've just spoken
about. What a lad.
So,
I'm here a week.
I would lean towards Coleman here, being the big-bodied receiver, then Franklin over McConkey. I know McConkey gets open. He's a fantastic route runner. I get that. I just think a receiver like Franklin or Coleman would complement the receiving core we've got a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, for me, it's out of McConkey or Franklin. I'd probably pick Franklin over McConkey, to be honest. I think... Ladd McConkey is someone who's, you know, probably at the wide receiver position, nobody's draft capital has gained more since the season ended, to be honest. I mean, like, I kind of had him in that fourth, fifth round category, and kind of, you know, when the season ended, and then sort of since then with the bowl games and the combines, etc., and the pro days, he's kind of been spoken about as a potential guy that could sneak into round one at some point. I don't think he's a round one talent personally. But I'd go for Troy Franklin based on kind of everything that I spoke about a little while ago. I'm not going to go over it all again.
Agree.
Cool. Dan? Take the draft expert advice, yeah?
Let's go for the expert's advice, Troy Franklin.
Draft advice.
Cool. So that is Troy Franklin, wide receiver.
But yeah, just whilst it's going through, I will say that I think it's imperative. You either go wide receiver round one, cornerback round two, or if you're going to take that quarterback in round one, you've got to get that wide receiver in round two. And, you know, I know we've spoke about draft capital, but maybe Shane gets a little bit aggressive and moves up if a certain wide receiver that they really like is falling. If they've got a first-round grade on a wide receiver that's falling to the back end of the first, start of the second, maybe they try and throw in a fourth rounder and try and move up a little bit for someone.
People are not going to believe that this is being done live and real, but Kyrie Jackson's sitting right there.
We are on the clock at 70. No conversation, mate.
Unless obviously you want Tez Walker and you want to
double dip. No, we haven't got, I don't think we've got the draft capital to double dip at wide receiver at this point. I mean, nice. I would have the conversation with Hicks and Jackson, the two players that sort of stand out as in huge needs. I mean, if we Christian Haynes is someone who I think is good value here. I think very good value here. But to match value with need, I think Jackson or Hicks sort of meets that for this year. Hicks would come in, his great all-round safety. He would be your starting safety straight away. Or Curry Jackson would come in and, like we said, be your cornerback number two opposite Banks. So, whatever you guys think.
Just have a look what other corners are available. I just want to see who's dropped this far.
So, cornerback, we have Andrew Phillips, and then the two Florida State boys and BJ James, who all should really be there at this time anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chris Abrams' drain as well, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think Kyrie Jackson's got to be the pick there without a doubt.
Yeah, I think so. He's your definite outside corner, whereas Abrams' dream is more of the slot sort of nickel cornerback. I mean, which we kind of need as well, to be honest.
Now we've got Darnay Holmes, haven't we, Dan?
Big play, Darnay.
Give up big play, Darnay.
Don't you worry about that. We've got big play, Darnay. So, three-round mock draft is looking pretty healthy so far. I'm not going to know.
So you might as well speed it up to turbo now. No, just get it done. But
get it done.
So, there we have it. That's the first one. So, it will analyse the draft, give us A pluses for all three picks.
Thank you. Nailed it.
I found this with PFF.
That's the definition of nailed it, right?
Sometimes PFF takes ages to analyse the draft and then it just decides not to do it.
I mean, I will say, with them three players we've drafted, an argument could be met that you've got three round one talents there. Not saying they're going to get that production, but they're all players that have been spoken about as being round one worthy at some point in this process, even Kyrie Jackson.
There was kind of that sort of consensus last year, wasn't there, with our first three picks last year as well. It's that the talent we picked up in the first three rounds last year were all potential round one talents at some point. So, you know, I think if the first three rounds fall that way this year, then I think I'll be one happy man.
Well, that's it. We looked at it. You got your starting franchise quarterback that this front office and head coach can get behind. You've gone and got him an absolutely explosive weapon. Great after the catch. You know, he catches the ball really well. He's a little slight. That would be like one of the knocks on him. Franklin's a little slight, but he's definitely, you know, an explosive player. To go on the outside, to go along with the Slayton, the Hyatt, the Wandell Robinsons. And then you've added what we believe to be our big, strong, 6'4" starting corner opposite Deontay Banks.
So it looks like the grading is broken on here, but obviously in the full results, if we have a look again.
A plus, it's fine.
Yeah, A plus is all round. Pick 6, Drake May. Further down, pick 47, Troy Franklin. and then finally pick 70, Kyrie Jackson. So that's one scenario. So let's take the second scenario. So if we go back to the simulator, if PFF ever wants to wake up.
Have you noticed them NFL, NFL.com, NFL Network have started using PFF's draft simulator and stuff now?
Have they?
Yeah, and they've started getting PFF analysts on their show as well now. So they must have some sort of connection there.
James is just saying there, PFF just unfairly getting our hope up here with the way that just fell.
You're not wrong, James. You're not wrong.
Are you mocking me?
Oh, boom, boom. Dan will be upset with that one. I should have stopped sharing for the moment because obviously there's an issue with the way that the simulator is running for some reason.
The joys of being live, eh?
The joys of being live.
Yeah, no idea what is going on there, but crack at it.
Cool. We'll just go back, touch back on that. So obviously, Kev, I know you said about Drake May being a bit slight and him, but that's not necessarily the end of the world because you look at Dan Jones's durability and his sort of the luck he's had with injuries. I mean, surely just being a slight quarterback necessarily isn't such a bad
thing. Sorry, I was talking about Franklin, the wide receiver.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Drake May, but even being a slight receiver as well is, you know, you've got to be quick, and if you're a tall, big body receiver, then being slight is kind of expected.
So just for context, he is 6'2", so he's got good length, good height, but he is 183 pounds. You kind of want him over that 190 mark, really, at that sort of height, 195, pushing 200.
He weighed in at 176 at the combine, so he's even less than that.
That is really light, but
I think this is pro day. Maybe it's pro day weight. Maybe, I don't know.
There's going to be some time there for him to bulk a little bit and put some more muscle on, for sure, no doubt. But
the thing is, Devontae Smith got the league undersized, and he's been pretty good for Philly, in all fairness.
Yep, very true. And like you said, a lot of people talk about him sort of back end of the first, like, so for him to slide, and players will slide as well. You know, everyone goes, oh, that'll never happen. But we see it every year. You know, players who people perceive to be day one picks, day two picks, you do see them slide. So you know, to pick them up there, I think, is great value.
But I mean, you say that that's never going to happen. Drake May's never going to fall to six, is he? Let's face it.
No, I mean, we might have to go and get him, so we might end up with him. So this draft might be actually accurate. It's just we've given up next year's first to go up to three to get him.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, just on Todd Pantin as well. Sorry, Dan, because I just looked at his NFL combine page, and an NFC skating director was quoted as saying he's not as explosive as Jalen Hyatt was coming out, but I looked at him in a similar way of what he can do for your offense and what you won't ask him to do. He's a better route runner than Hyatt. So if you've got Jalen Hyatt, but a better route runner, because that was his big knock on him coming out,
and the height.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it'd be quite an interesting pairing having Franklin Hoyt. But you know, like I said, I think for me, out of them three picks, probably my most favourite pick would be Kyrie Jackson in round three. Like, that'd be the steal of the draft.
Nice. I mean, let's talk a little bit about our actual needs in the draft. What are the top three positions you guys think we really sort of need to strengthen at? Let's go with Shane first.
What was that question? Sorry.
The sort of the three sort of biggest positions of need that you think we need as it stands at the moment, with the roster we've got as it stands at the moment.
Wide receiver, cornerback, and then I think for the third one, you could make an argument for offensive line. You could make an argument for linebacker. You could make an argument for safety. Like any one of them would be, you could make argument for.
Well, I know what Kev's pick is, and that's a safety, right?
Safety. I mean, yeah, at the moment, our starting safety is Pinnock and Belton, who I think are good players, but you kind of want another sort of starting caliber player at that position. And obviously, people talk about it. QB is considered a big need in this draft, but just to reiterate what Shane said, have to come away with a starting caliber wide receiver and a starting caliber cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback is a position of need, don't get me wrong, but it's almost like it may, obviously listen to the what you guys spoke about with Jordan Reed the other day, and is it a year too early for quarterback? Are we, you know, potentially looking next year, obviously, when we can offload Daniel Jones after what, there's so many different variables that could happen. But if, like I said, with this mock we just had, if Drake May is there at six, it's like you can't not go and get him. You can't not go up to that podium and pick him, because he is that good, and he is potentially a generational talent. Here we go. Draft simulator is back online.
Back in the room. Pain in the backside. Room. Not like I work in IT or anything. Right. Not at all. Right. So if we kick off the draft again. And as you can see, do we need to restart, Shane?
I swear, can I tick? What? What bullshit is that?
We'll attempt to restart.
What was the scenario, this one? What are we doing? Are we just looking at all options, or?
What we were going to do is we were going to trade back with the Vikings for 11 and 23 for 6. That was the scenario. Okay. So do we just offer the trade and see what they do? And if Shane doesn't like it, we can restart.
Yeah, no, crack on.
And who did they pick?
They took JJ McCarthy. Right. Marvin's gone. We don't need to worry about what happened up the top.
Imagine you trade it for 6 and you compare Justin Jefferson with Marvin Harrison Jr. and you go, oh, let's let JJ. Well, what? You can't see a sack of that.
Okay.
Right. Moving on to pick 11. So
where are we going with number 11, guys?
Yeah, so tell me you're thinking what I'm thinking.
I know what you're thinking, my friend. Yeah. You want yourself some of that Toledo boy, don't you?
I do indeed.
Nice corner, like you're thinking.
So
Quinion Mitchell, yeah.
We spoke last week about cornerbacks, so we won't go into it in too much depth, but the difference in average draft position between Mitchell and Cooper DeJean is what, about 8 picks there? Is there that much of a difference, considering, you know, Cooper's actually ranked above him on the big board? Kev?
I think it's Quinion Mitchell, with everything he's produced on the field and the pre-draft sort of process, he is head and shoulders above all cornerbacks in this class. Now, Cooper DeJean, I think, is class and very, very good. And in most other drafts, it would be cornerback one. But I think Quinion Mitchell, if you were to, like I've said it before about other players, if you take, right, what do I want from a cornerback? What do I want? Put him in a machine and let it fire out. It would fire out Quinion Mitchell.
So
I'm guessing it's a Quinion Mitchell pick then, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we need a cornerback. Obviously, Cooper DeJean's a safety at the next level. So I'm going to go for Quinion Mitchell.
There we go. And we have that second first-round pick coming up. So we
certainly do.
Let's see how
not
that...
Not much to talk about in the meantime. Let's see how it's going to fall.
The thing is, like, you'd look at cornerback and wide receiver there, and you've obviously got a quality cornerback staring at you in the face, you know. So you just go ahead, make that pick, and now you would look and say, okay, what wide receivers are on the board now?
So obviously Bo Nix went 3 picks before to Seattle. So is that...
Do we think about...
Nix, Wilson, sorry, and Fields in Seattle.
What wide receivers are on the board?
So your next one is Brian Thomas.
I love me some BTJ. BTJ's got to be the pick.
I thought you were going to say something else in chat.
B, just give me BTJ, please. Just tonight. But the
thing is 10 o'clock at night.
But the thing is, right. So basically, you're saying at this point, you're going to get someone with the speed, athleticism, and size of Brian Thomas Jr. And what did he put over 1,000 yards last year? Double-digit touchdowns. For me, he's easily number four wide receiver in this class. And I think he's got great potential to be a number one receiver on our team. So, yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer for me.
Shane agrees. So, away with the pick. Obviously, we're hitting an hour and a half now. So, we'll try and wrap this up as quick as possible. I'll move this up to...
So, at this point now, we've kind of made the decision that we're not going quarterback. Just out of curiosity, was Penix Jr. on the board?
Yes, he would have been.
See, that's a conversation. I know we weren't having it, but that's a conversation they're going to have. Because I think he might go earlier than that. I think he might go in the teens before that pick 23. But if he is there, then that is definitely a conversation they're having in the war room.
So Penix actually went 44, so only three picks before this to the Raiders.
Again. Oakland, Las Vegas.
Yes.
My bad.
So can I make a suggestion here for something I alluded to earlier in the show?
Yep.
Go on. Matt,
can we trade back with Arizona, give them pick 47 and pick 166 and get off them pick 66 and 71?
So 47 and 166, did you say?
Yeah, we give them 47 and 166 and request 67 and 71 off them.
And they have accepted.
All right.
All the trades going on.
And it's two for two, but we're getting an extra two pick. Well, we're getting that extra pick in that top 72 order. So we're acquiring that kind of back to back. And if you want there, you're 70 and 71. And you could trade one of these if you wanted to and trade back again, or you could use one of them to move back up into the end of the second round if you wanted.
I think we'll stick and pick now because there's some very, very good players on the board. And the one that jumps out to me here is getting your starting safety, Jaden Hicks out of Washington State.
Kyrie's there, Kev. Imagine having three lead cornerbacks.
We've got Quinn Mitchell. We've got two outside ones.
Let's have them all. I mean this in a nice way, but I don't really care about this.
Don't forget we've got two more picks coming up any minute now as well, so you never know, Kyrie might be there at 70 or 71.
Yeah, look, Sam, I don't mean this in a nasty way, but I don't care about this pick because I'll be happy with any of them first three or Junior Colson. Like Chris Jenkins are coming in off of something, Jaden Hicks comes in off of something, Christian Haynes could come in and offer something, and Junior Colson could as well. So if Kev wants Jaden Hicks, he's going to get no arguments from me.
Cool. That is the pick.
Let's
then.
Get it.
Safety, Jaden Hicks. So Trice McMillan, Jenkins.
There we go. He's still there. Look at that. And we've got two picks in a row.
So because of that trade then, do we look at making best player available at a position? And do we look at Spencer Rattler now?
I don't know. I mean, we've got two picks in the row. The three players that stand out to me the most is Haynes, Colson, and Jalen Wright.
So linebacker is obviously a area of need for us in the terms of depth. I mean, guard is as well, but we do have McKethan and Zudu who potentially can play there. So is linebacker maybe the... I mean, we've got back-to-back picks, so technically you could take both, but is linebacker like maybe the more important one here?
Yeah, I mean, I think linebacker is probably more of a need than what people give credit for.
And I think a player like Junior Colson could come in and fight straight away for a starting spot. So he wouldn't come in as depth. I think he'd come in and push for that starting spot.
To him versus McFadden in camp.
Correct.
And let's not forget, McFadden's only going into his third year as well. So it's not like he's got a huge amount of experience.
Because I take him and Christian Haynes. Get them hog mollies in.
You happy with that, Shane? Or are you going to make the case for Jalen Wright here?
I mean, I do like Jalen Wright. I really do like him.
Does Brandon Dorlus throw a spanner in that works?
I like me some Brandon Dorlus.
Ooh, Blake Corum. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Christian Haynes is I think he's probably too good of value for the pick. I mean, the other option you've got, like you say, you've got two back-to-back picks here. You could trade back again if you wanted. We're not going to, but like you'd have the option of trading back, or you could have the option of trading up into the end of the second round if someone's falling that you really like. But I think Haynes is probably too good of value to pass up here. We don't know what's going to happen with Evan Neal.
And we've seen he would come in and be your right starting right guard now. And then Illuminor and Neil would battle out for right tackle.
Yeah. And the thing, if any team knows more than us, you know, your O-line get injuries. Like it's a case of when, not if. I just think he's too good a value to probably pass up here.
Yeah, and picking up a potential starting guard in round three is nothing to be sniffed at. Nice. Well, that's another pretty successful three-round mock draft there, lads, don't you think?
I think so. I think the maneuvering was good. I like that. You get end up with two sort of more premium picks.
So there we have it.
I mean, drop. A's all round. There we go.
And an A+ right there. So this is something.
If you're listening, Joe.
So this is something I've noticed PFF are doing, that saying that, you know, we drafted Brian Thomas Jr., but Jazar Newton had a higher board position. What? Who cares?
He does. Like on a big board, I'd have Johnny Newton higher than Brian Thomas, but you've got to factor in need.
And yes.
What would you say is a bigger need for us than what the tackle is?
Exactly.
Couldn't agree more. All right. Well, boys, that was a lot of fun. Apologies for the technical issues in the middle there, but obviously, that's what happens when you go live. These things happen. But, you know, if you fancy your own, thanks, Kieran. Appreciate it. Poor Shane. I mean, you're the one that stoked the fire there, Kieran. So, you know. if you fancy doing your own three-round mock or full Giants mock draft, make sure you post it on X. Tag us in it as well, because we love to see them. And remember, if you want to make it an outrageous one, a la Kev's full seven-round Giants mock, where we might as well have picked the entire 2024 draft class from Notre Dame, then again, maybe tag us in it and the lads will choose a winner on draft night with a prize to be won for the most outrageous mock draft. So get those in to us. Tag us in it on X. Don't poke the bear. The Shane rage came out then fully. Unfortunately, though, well, that is all we've got time for this week. Stay tuned to the channel as we'll be back next Thursday at the usual time of 8:30 p.m. That is next Thursday, 8:30 p.m. as we round up all the latest draft news, as we will only be 1 week away from the big night. Plus, it's a full Giants seven-round mock draft for the guys to debate over, so looking forward to that one. Anything else to add before we go, guys?
Just a really fun episode. You know, all of us have been doing mock drafts and posting in the group chat. So it was good to finally do a bit of a combined one, a mini one essentially. We've just been three rounds. You know, looking forward to next week's full round mock. And, you know, I'm eagerly and waiting to see what's going to get me on the ramp bus next week.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, really, really good show, lads. Some great interaction as well from people listening and watching. Yeah, and just like I said, we're just over 2 weeks from the draft. Look, very, very much looking forward to next week's show. So, yeah, just bring it on.
Yep. And hopefully next week we'll have the final details on prizes and the information on how to enter the raffle for draft night. And, yeah, as much information as we possibly can give you 1 week before the four of us try and manage a 6-hour live stream.
Yeah, it's not like we haven't done it before. Oh no, we haven't. So expect things to go wrong. Expect plenty of mistakes. Expect technical issues. But you can't knock it until we tried it. And unfortunately, it's going to be our first time doing it. But I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm mega, mega looking forward to the next in 2 weeks' time. So, yeah, can't believe it's so close already. But
are we going to delight a a walk like they do for the NFL draft when the rookies turn up, like showing up what they're wearing and everything.
Yeah, dripping in all those chains and, you know, put the draft cap on and jersey out, you know. I mean, I don't know if we'll be dripping in ice or anything, but, you know, it's we can always...
Was it a few years ago, playmaker clean?
When Shane has Uber at the ready.
It won't even be an Uber or walk.
You're right.
So Lushin's going to be carnage. You're right, and hopefully you'll join us, Steve, because that carnage is going to be entertainment at its finest. But yeah, lots to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. Mock drafts coming next week again, and then the week after that it's round one, baby. So let's rock and roll. As I said at the top, you can check out all of our social platforms by checking out the links in the description, also our merchandise store at Etsy as well. Give this episode a like and a share on your platform of choice. Don't forget to hit the bell when you subscribe to the channel. Keep your eyes and ears posted on our X page, because all the information on our draft night extravaganza will no doubt be posted on there as and when it comes out. My thanks, as ever, for a fantastic evening, goes to Shane, to Kev, and to Craig for joining me. To you, the viewers and listeners, for tuning in. We're signing off. Until next time, let's go Giants.